South Africans are used to tough times. If it's not economic turmoil, then it's crime, inequality or racism. This year in particular has been exceptionally hard. In between fuel and inflation hikes, there was an escalation in protest action in the trucking industry, where in some cases entry and exit routes into and out of towns were left inaccessible. Over the past few weeks, we also saw areas such as Tembisa and Soweto burn as protesters made their voices heard about the lack of service delivery. Then anger turned to Zama Zamas in several communities after a brutal gang rape of several women in Krugersdorp. This has left some commentators speculating that the country is on the brink of collapse. We discussed this with human rights activist and violence monitor Mary De Haas and Davi Ruit, who is the chief economist at the Efficient Group. Mary, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Radio Islam International once again.
Good morning, Suleiman, and all the listeners.
Davi, a very good morning to you as well. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Good morning to you and Mary.
All right, Davi, if I can start with you. When outside investors see the kind of issues that we are grappling with as a country, some of which I've listed in my introduction, what does that do and what has it done this year in terms of investor confidence and the amount of money being spent in our country or no longer being spent in our country?
Yeah, you mentioned that we've been going through difficult times for the past year or two. So in fact, if you stand back a little bit and you see and you look at numbers like, for example, per capita GDP and things like that, then you will see that South Africa has been going through a very difficult time, especially the past 10 years. But you're absolutely right. The only way for an economy to grow, and I believe the answer to all these woes that we have in South Africa, or just about the only answer to all of these woes, is that we need to get this economy to grow. And before you can get an economy to grow, you must have get people to have confidence in your economy. Once they have confidence in your economy and in management and in government and prospects and so on, then they will put money in your economy. They will build a new factory or build a new mine or whatever the case might be. They will employ more people and more wealth will be created. Unfortunately, if you look at the investments in South Africa, then you see the investment levels are far too low. There are many reasons for that. One is that we are simply not saving enough in South Africa. And the other reason, very importantly, has to do with confidence. And there are many various confidence indices that are used to monitor people's confidence in South Africa. And I'm afraid that most of these instances, confidence levels are exceptionally low. So the bottom line is, we're not growing the economy because we're not investing. We're not investing because we simply do not have confidence in South Africa and South Africa's future.
Now, Mary, from your perspective as a human rights activist, as a monitor of violence, we know it's bad, but how bad is it? Recently, former President Thabo Mbeki said he fears an Arab Spring for South Africa. Other analysts and journalists like Adrian Besson, etc., hit back and said, no, we're not likely to face an Arab Spring. Yes, we do have many protests in South Africa. Unfortunately, at times it turns violent. But this is people expressing their frustration. And we shouldn't exaggerate the concern, as concerning as it may be. What's your analysis, Mary?
Look, I think I would probably to go with Besson in terms of the fact that although South Africa can be quite unpredictable, of course, because don't forget that we had that devastation last year, which was basically from KZN spread to Gauteng, and finally we have more arrests, but we don't know whether we're going to get to the root of it. So there are forces that can sow chaos if they want to. But generally speaking, I mean, what we're seeing is a continuation of years of protest. I mean, protest has been with us for so long, violent protest most of the time, because, I mean, the problem we have is that we are an exceptionally high, abnormally high violent country. And so we're also quite divided politically. I mean, don't forget that there are different factions, groupings in different parties, different factions. So that, in a sense, cuts sort of lessens the chance of some united uprising. But having said that, as I said, there's certainly some sinister forces that were able to cause trouble last year. So there's an unpredictability. But, I mean, the protest is just what we are seeing is, you know, we see it because these are conspicuous massacres, for example. But If you look in the rural areas of KZN, people are getting massacred quite frequently, but they don't make the newspapers because, you know, there's no coverage. But what we need to do is tackle violence and crime. And it starts with the way we bring our children up, but it also starts in communities and in Parliament, because we have a policing problem. We have a general criminal justice system, starting with the police, and no one is doing anything about it, including Parliament.
Now, Davi, we know there's been much debate about Zama Zamas recently, right? And the mining industry came under review, if we can put it that way, recently again because of the 10th anniversary of what happened in Marikana. You spoke earlier on about the growing of the economy. How critical is mining, and what are some of the issues there?
Well, far less important today than where it was 100 years ago. Mining and agriculture was by far the two biggest industry in South Africa, say, for example, 100 years ago, and that is typically how an economy evolves. So economies will typically evolve when they start off, and you will find mostly is that poor countries, that the primary industries like mining and agriculture are the most important industries, and then gradually from there, the economies will evolve into your secondary industries, like, for example, manufacturing, and then from there, countries will move into your tertiary industries, like the various services industries and finances and stuff like that. And today, if you look at this, really successful countries, they are mostly active in the tertiary industries, where what we are doing exactly now. And the irony for South Africa is that is also where most economic activities are taking place in South Africa, and the little growth that we do have is actually in the tertiary industry. But that's in a way that, well, it's good in a sense that South Africa at least are partaking in this real modern economy, and we're part of the modern economy and all the technology that goes with that. But the downside to this is that we've got so many people unemployed, and I would actually like to see more growth in the secondary sectors, where we have manufacturing and we have factories and where we can employ a lot of people. There are actually quite few people that can really be accommodated in the tertiary industries because of the quality of our education in South Africa. And if we really want to employ masses and masses of people, we have to do what the Chinese did. And they really built out this secondary sector the last couple of decades, and that is where we can employ a lot of people. But, you know, there are so many obstacles there. If you try to employ people in factories, we know that labor in South Africa is well organized. Labor can be quite militant in South Africa, and also in the secondary sectors, we don't necessarily have all the necessary skills, nor all that, and clearly also not the investments. So there are a multiple of obstacles in South Africa, and unfortunately, that I think the secondary sector, where we can potentially do something about poverty and unemployment, that sector is lagging behind quite a lot.
So, Mary, is there that link between the economic prosperity of the country and service delivery protests and violence? You spoke earlier on that we are a high violence country. If the economy grows, as Davi suggested, it has to, and if we can improve things on the economic front, will we automatically see a decrease in service delivery protests and in violent protest?
Look, if we get to service delivery protests, right. And now, I mean, on the subject of employment, right. Now, what this country has done, what the government has done, it's created a patronage network. We have a country that's far too reliant on social grants. Right. Now, social grants are important, but, and now let me just get onto my hobby horse, because it's something I want to sell. I want to remind business that in the 80s, when, for example, I'm talking at Tekwini in Durban, when there was an outbreak of cholera, business got involved, and they got involved through the Urban Foundation. Now, I would like to see something like that again. Now, let me just give you an example. In Durban, we have shack areas all over the place, right? People move into town because, and we also have, I mean, I can't leave the subject of violence alone without saying we need to deal with taxi mafias. They basically run the place. Because and they, you know, they can bring the country to a halt basically with their protests. So in the urban areas where we have a housing crisis and bad delivery, we have the local government farming out tenders to political comrades who build shoddy houses that fall down. Now, why are we not doing certain service schemes. This is what the Urban Foundation did. In Durban, in areas of the huge Inanda area, which of course is where the notorious events of Phoenix took place last year, we had the Urban Foundation getting involved with the government. Certain service schemes provide training, skills, opportunity. Give people service sites, give them core housing that they can build on, that they can employ them, train them to be bricklayers, plumbers. You know, guys sitting in these hostels, somebody from overseas said to me, why have you still got hostels in South Africa? You know, Gleedon's Hostel in Durban, which is disgraceful, it's worse than it was under apartheid. Now, the guys there will say, but why can't we just fix the washers on the tap? Why can't we get involved? Oh, no, says the Ekurhuleni municipality. We need to put this out to tender. Well, we know who gets the tenders. It's their political friends. Hmm. So what I am saying is we can create far more employment if we actually skill people and allow them to develop their own buildings and houses through an association with business and government.
Yeah.
Can I add to that?
Yes, sure, David.
Yes, I agree. You know, but business is doing quite a lot already. Not necessarily in building houses, because that is not where a lot of money can be made. But businesses is doing basically everything else. And I can give you many examples. Businesses in South Africa has taken over the postal services, because the postal services has been run into the ground. That's one example. Mm. Business is currently taking over the provision of electricity, because Eskom has been run into the ground.
Mm.
So there are many other examples like that. So, yes, it is actually the private sector, it is business that is actually contributing to the little economic activity that we do have. The biggest obstacle is basically what, and I agree with Mary, it is basically a state that is collapsing at all sort of levels. So the problem in South Africa is, well, economics is the only answer to the problem, but the real problem is not economics. We know how to fix that. The problem is an inefficient and a corrupt and an incompetent government. That's the issue. So we need to fix politics before we can get the economy going.
Indeed. Mary and Davi, we thank you both for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great day and go well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was economist Davi Ruit and Mary de Haas, a violence monitor and human rights activist, talking to us about where we are as a country and how we need to turn things around, primarily in terms of the economy and service delivery protests.